Welcome to the Hilltop United Methodist Church podcast. Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. Locals would say 106th. Our two worship services are at 9 o'clock and 10:30. Hope to see you this Sunday. God bless. Bye-bye.
In the beginning, talked a little bit about the nature of the fact that God was creating and recreating. There was order to that creation. Last week, I gave you the idea that many of the characters in the Bible are like you and me. And they suffer from the same things that we suffer from in this 21st century. Offered to you Sarah and Abraham. God offers to them what's possible and they laugh jointly. They see nothing but impossibility in that. And then they do come back after the impossibility becomes possible and they laugh in joy about how their life has changed. Last week we celebrated the birth of Isaac. He comes into the world, and now we're going to read a little bit about Jacob, who's Isaac's son. We sort of skip this year, we skip over Isaac a little bit. We're going to read about Jacob. Jacob's name means the deceiver. How'd you like to walk around life with that name? You've been given the name of being the deceiver. Wow. Also, it could be also translated as heel. He grasps the heel. That comes from the fact that when he was born, he was trying to grasp his brother's heel. He was a twin. He was born second. His mother, Rebecca, has been told that the younger will be the greater. Our reading comes to us from Genesis 32, verse 22, and I'll stop at verse 30. The same night, he got up and took his two wives, his two maids, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream, and likewise everything that he had. Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he struck him on the hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then the man said, "Let me go, for the day is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then the man said, "You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with humans and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life is preserved." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Where do you start in the Jacob story? I mean, I just told you that his mother gives him the name the deceiver when he's born. How'd you like to walk through life with that as your handle? It'd be worse than a boy named Sue. And I'm not sure exactly what's going on. Maybe God's conversation with his mother set up the conditions. But Esau becomes dad's boy, and he does everything that's out hunting and bringing animals in and is able to sort of deal in that world. And for whatever reason, Jacob, he's much more comfortable inside the tent making stew. Maybe for a while here, he's mama's boy. And it sets in motion some tension. He goes and deceives his brother. He goes and does some things with his brother, which makes their relationship very, very dicey. Now, to be clear, Esau was a pretty easy guy to foil. I would suggest that he's an introduction in the Bible of perhaps not the sharpest knife in the drawer. He's a little dull, easily deceived, But that doesn't mean that he's a righteous victim. I mean, he shouldn't be taken advantage of just because he's not that sharp. But Jacob does. Jacob does. And it sets in motion him having to flee away for his very life. Now, the family trees of the early part of the Bible look very much like some parts of our country where cousins marry cousins and that kind of thing. And lo and behold, he encounters a cousin at a well and decides that he wants to marry her. But the deceiver, this guy who is having a troubled relationship with his brother, runs into his uncle. And I will tell you, Jacob doesn't fall too far from the tree. He has run into somebody who is as deceitful as he is, and maybe even a little bit more. Can you imagine waking up in the morning of your marriage day and discover that the woman you married last night is not the woman you thought she was? It's supposed to be humorous, guys. You guys need to work on your humor. Either that or I need to work on my humor. But things happen. The good things happen, and he eventually becomes prosperous. He two wives, two handmaids that he has children by, 11 children. And God comes to him and says, I want you to go back to where you came from. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine being told to go back to a place that you had left because you were afraid for your life? But there's a possibility that Jacob's changed a little bit. As he's left Canaan, as he's left the promised land, as he leaves, he has this dream. And in this dream, God lays out for him God's plan. He doesn't have a wife yet. He doesn't have any children yet. But he lays out for him his strategy. And Jacob wakes up and gives one of the most conditional prayers you'd ever want to read in your life. He basically says, well, if all these things that you said really happen, really do come into being, then I'll let you be my God. You can be my God. It's all right. And again, my comment to us is that sometimes Sarah and Abraham are like, we're like them. My guess is that every one of us has uttered such a prayer. God, if you just do this, I'll call you God. And you know what? God does exactly what he said he'd do. It happens. But God says, okay, it's time now to go back to your brother. Go back and see your brother. And Jacob is filled with remorse. He's filled with fear. He's filled with angst. Do I really have to go back? And God says, yep, you do. Get about it right now. And his departure is filled with comedy and humor. But he eventually gets out. And now he goes to the same place where some years before he has offered this prayer to God, this conditional prayer that, God, if all of these things come in to happen, you'll be my God. And something, you can start to see this insight into his soul. He's changed. He's not fully changed yet, but he's changed. And he offers up this prayer, which basically says, when I get back, can Esau and I be reconciled? I'm afraid for my very life. I'm afraid for my children's life. I'm afraid for my wives and my handservants' lives. And can you bring me to a good place? Can you do this for me, God? Please. And we don't know why in this passage we just read that he sends the family all across the river. Don't know. Many reasons could be offered, but for some reason he sends them on over, and he is on the lonely side of the Jabbok. He's on the frontier. He's on the wilderness side of the river trying to get ready to cross into civilization. But it's still a night in the wilderness. And he has this encounter. The Bible starts off suggesting it's perhaps a man. But by the time we get to the end of the passage, it's not a man anymore. It's God. He is wrestling with God. I think every one of us here has at some point in time wrestled with God. We've struggled with God. If all of us at some point in time in our lives are like Jacob and we're the deceivers, we're also at many times in our lives very much like Jacob, and we're renamed. The words here mean someone who struggles with God, someone who strives with God. But I like the idea of the match. this intimate contest has occurred. Wrestling is a very intimate sport. And they've wrestling like this, and the outcome of it is that Jacob is marked. He's marked for life. He has wrestled with God. Israel wrestled with God, struggled with God. So he's no longer the deceiver. He's Israel. Now, the difference, there's a little difference here in this, in the fact that his grandfather, when his grandfather and his grandmother get their new names, they go from Abram to Abraham, Sarai to Sarah. That's it. Clean. Break. They're not referred anymore in the Bible by their old names. Their new name is who they are. But Jacob doesn't get that. Just as we don't get that. Just like Jacob, all of us are at times deceivers, and at times we struggle with God. And for the rest of the Bible, Jacob is called by both names. He's called by the deceiver, and sometimes he's called Israel. Does that sound like any of us? Does that sound familiar to us? Does that sound like who we are in this? Now, the question might be, is it... He was marked, but he wasn't literally marked. I mean, we misuse the term literally in our society. We sit down and say, he literally blew up. No, he didn't. He metaphorically, he figuratively blew up, but he didn't literally blow up unless he's just blown all over you and he's gone totally. How many times do we say the word literally? But here, we actually have a literal mark. He is different. He goes into the wrestling match one way and he comes out changed. He comes out changed in such a way that people can see it. He walks differently. And what's one of the things that happens is this prayer that he's offered, God, make me allow Esau and I to be able to be reconciled. What's the one of the first things that happens? He goes and encounters his brother and he attempts to reconcile. And he literally gets down and bows down to his brother and says, forgive me for things that have happened. And again, here the Esau is the desirable character in this. He says, what's wrong? I mean, I'm happy to see you. I am so happy to see you. The Jacob says, with words that are literally true, not figuratively true, but literally true. He says, looking upon your face is like looking upon the face of God. He's changed. Now, I don't know where you are in the story. I don't know whether at this particular moment you're Jacob or whether you're Israel. I don't know. But I would say to all of us that are here today that the nature of being marked by God calls for a change that's change in our heart, but it's also a change in who we are. It's a fundamental change that people can see the difference. We have been marked by God in such a way that when we walk out into the world, people know that we've been marked by that way. So whatever it is you're dealing with, whatever you're wrestling with, may not come as a surprise to any of you, but I wrestle with impatience. Amen. Now, sometimes impatience can be a little holy, but sometimes it can be downright rude. Now, I would say to you that when you see me being patient, that's a mark of God that has been placed on me. What's the mark that you might be looking for? What's the mark of change that you might be saying, God, change my very heart. Change my very heart in such a way that the mark is made visible to those around me. I don't know which one you have, but I would say that the nature of what it is that Jacob does with Esau, this reconciliation, this fact that he is able to leave there, this prideful man, he's able to go and place himself before his brother that he's wronged, and he says to him, looking at you is like seeing the face of God. Jacob, Israel, we're all Jacob. We're all Israel. The key for us is to recognize where we are in that story, who it is we're trying to fool, and what it is that has changed in our hearts as a result of that struggle that we have with God. Let us be in an attitude of prayer. Gracious and loving God, we come to you humbly, knowing that you will struggle with us and allow us to hold you close in an intimate way so that we are changed by that encounter. Bless us this time together, and that we may be able to see how we can be changed so that others may recognize that change in us. And all of God's children say, Amen.
Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. Locals would say 106th. Our two worship services are at 9 o'clock and 10:30. Hope to see you this Sunday. God bless. Bye-bye.